This week on the eBay for Business podcast.
It's definitely a tough one. Obviously, working a, we'll call it 9 to 5, you definitely have to maintain composure during those times and leave your business behind. And then at nighttime, after I put my kids to bed and things like that, I bust out the side hustle.
I'm Rebecca.
I'm Griffin. This is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start and run and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 173. Well, welcome back to the fold, Rebecca.
Thank you, Griff. And is it too late? Can I still say Happy New Year?
No, of course not.
Well, Happy New Year to you and to all our listeners as well.
Dare I ask, how was your New Year's?
My holiday, my New Year's, you know, it was nice. It was quiet. I was not sad to say goodbye to 2021, but I'm excited for 22.
Well, optimism suits you, my dear.
Optimism looks great on me. How about you, Griff?
Oh, it was fantastic. I had a little noisemaker and a little party hat, and I sat in my little recliner chair with my TV dinner and on a tray in front of the TV. Of course, I fell asleep before... Oh, who was it this year? It was Anderson Cooper. And who was the other guy who got in trouble?
Ryan Seacrest. The other guy said rude things about Ryan Seacrest.
Was that Andy Cohen? Who was that?
I don't know. I have to admit, I have not watched the ball drop in years.
Yeah, well, I missed that all. I was snoring.
I don't know. Why do I have this feeling you were actually dancing on tables with lampshades on your head?
In my mind, perhaps.
Well, Griff, enough about New Year's and dancing on tables. Who are our guests this week?
Well, we have one guest, and he's a return guest. He's an eBay employee, Stephen Weller. And I like to check in with Stephen because not only does he work full-time for eBay, but he sells full-time on eBay. And I don't know how he does it. We're going to find out how he's been doing. And when I say sell, he sells thousands of items a month.
That's right. He does. He's often our top seller here, isn't he?
He's unapproachable.
Yeah.
So we always run a board here, which employees are selling the most. And I usually come in second or third. Mm-hmm. But it's like I'm at base camp and he's ascended Everest. I'll never get up there.
It is impressive. Well, that sounds like it'll be a really interesting conversation.
Yes, I hope so.
There's no news this week.
Aww.
I'm sorry. But, you know, I took a look at the question pile, and there are a whole lot of questions that have come in.
I know. I think my plan worked.
What is this plan?
Well, it was more of a threat than a plan. I thought you knew about this.
Griff, what did you do?
Oh, nothing. Nothing, really. Nothing at all. The good thing is it worked.
I don't even want to know. Not going to ask. Moving on.
Okay.
Okay. It sounds like maybe I should go back and listen to a couple of the past episodes.
Oh, no, you don't have to do that. There's no time. You don't want to do that.
Well, so we do have a lot of questions to answer this week.
Yes.
And so in the interest of time, maybe we should go ahead and get to our guest. And in the meantime, I'll flip through the stack and I'll select the best ones that come up for today.
Oh, that sounds good. It'll give you something to do and take your mind off my plan. I'll see you in a few minutes.
All right, I'll be back.
We do have a lot of employees at eBay who sell. I'm one of them. It keeps us in the game, lets us see firsthand what it's like to, what we call in the business, eat the dog food, use the product. I like to think I sell a lot. I think our next guest probably sells more than I do. We'll find out how his business is going. Welcome back to the podcast. Senior Business Development Manager at eBay, Stephen Weller. Hi, Stephen.
Hey, Griff. How's it going?
Great. I'm so glad to talk to you again. We don't get a chance to really talk in between podcast episodes.
we definitely should do that more often.
So I want to do a little check-in. We talked to you, I believe, a few months ago. How's business been in the last few months?
Business has been great for me. Actually, in Q4, I'm up 40% year over year.
Wow. Remind everyone what it is that you like to sell.
So I sell Disney Anna, like Disney pins and collectibles and Funko Pops, even some sneakers.
How's the sneaker business?
Sneaker business is really good right now. On eBay, specifically.
What do you focus on when it, for example, for sneakers? Is it just general or do you look for high-end, hard-to-find stuff?
I do a lot of the harder-to-find, you know, releases, the ones that are hard to get, and they end up doing better.
You also work at eBay full-time, and it sounds like you sell full-time. How do you balance those two?
It's definitely a tough one. Obviously, working, we'll call it 9 to 5, you definitely have to maintain composure during those times and leave your business behind. And then at nighttime, after I put my kids to bed and things like that, I bust out the side hustle.
Okay, but it doesn't sound like you have any other free time.
I definitely sleep less than most people do, but it's okay. It's a good drive, and it helps me provide for my family and allows to have a lot of fun.
How does what you do for eBay drive how you sell?
Oh, the two are definitely correlated. Because I'm doing business development, I bring on new sellers to the platform and partnerships and things like that. And so by me being a seller and knowing what they want, it helps me do my job as well. it helps me by knowing the customer by being one.
Do the customers that you talk to, do they understand that you're also a seller?
Yeah, that usually comes up. They'll ask me tips or tricks, and they're like, wow, you really know this. And I'll say, yeah, it's because I am one of you. And definitely, it's a lot of fun to surprise them and know things and give them tips and tricks that you don't find in, you know, in any kind of book you'd read anywhere or YouTube video you'd watch.
Can you think of an example of a bit of advice or a tip or a trick that you've given a seller recently?
I talked about dropping off and on time. A lot of people, what they'll do is they'll go they'll drop off a package at say 4 o'clock, and they're excited they beat the cutoff time at 5:30 when the store closes or post office closes. But the pickup for the post office or that store might have been at 2:30. And so I told them how to check with the post office or the place you drop off, UPS store, FedEx, and find out when the actual cutoff time is. And that we get it out before then, and you actually will get your package out to your customer a day or two in advance.
I know that my local post office, I've asked them, and the cutoff time is 5 o'clock when they're open. So I operate accordingly if I'm going to drop something off. But it's true. There's one of the street mailboxes that's literally just a few blocks away from my house, and I'm tempted sometimes to stick like a first-class package in it. But if you look closely, they don't pick up till 3, and by the time they get to the post office, it's after 5.
Yep, exactly. Now, that 1 or 2 days may make a difference whether the customer comes back to you and buys from you again.
Now, how does what you do at eBay color how you sell? The knowledge that you have from being inside of eBay, does it impact or shape the way that you run a business on eBay?
It does a little bit. I mean, it helps me with, best practices and things like that, whether it's titles or use all your images. But there's no secret sauce per se. It's not, I don't have inside information on how to make my listings do better or anything like that. But I definitely do, standard operating procedures and best practices.
I noticed that someone's keeping track of people who work at eBay and who also sell on eBay. And I forget who's doing that, but there's a little list of who sells the most items, who sells the gross. Are you familiar with this list? And if so, where are you?
I am.
Where are you on the list?
I'm number one worldwide.
Curses! Foiled again.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's fun to see my name come up on the list, and it's by items, but definitely do a lot in dollars as well.
Can you hint at that, or we don't have to have that if you don't want?
No, it's okay. This year, I've already crossed over 6 figures in sales, and then over 5,000 items.
6 figures. I'll never beat this. How many items?
Almost 5,000.
Oh, jeez. How big is your operation at home?
It's about half my garage. And to be honest with you, with probably the next 3 or 4 weeks, I'll be maybe possibly renting a warehouse.
If you rent a warehouse, will you have to start hiring people?
I don't think I'm there yet. It's more of just being able to be organized and set up systems better for myself. So that way I'm more efficient. Because right now, the taking up half a garage is not allowing me to be as efficient as possible. And then I could actually spend less time doing more if I had a bigger space.
How much time do you spend sourcing stuff to sell on eBay?
Just a few hours a day. I remember a couple hours a day, I should say. So at nighttime when I'm doing stuff, I'll look for new product, or I'll buy things. Or if I'm out at a Target or a Walmart, I'll get something. Or I'm on Shop Disney looking for something for my sons or my daughters, I'll look for other things too and stuff. So I'm always sourcing. I was at Target the other day and had to get some diapers and wipes and ended up walking out with 4 Funko Pops and paid for the diapers and wipes.
Always thinking.
Yep.
Well, Stephen, I hope that the success you're experiencing is being experienced by a whole wide range of sellers. I assume it is, but we'll check in with you again in maybe about 3 to 6 months and see how business has been here at the start of 2022 and what you notice for market trends. So right now, it looks like sneakers and Funko Pops and Disneyana are doing well.
Yeah, all collectibles in general. Cards, comics, Funko Pop, vinyl, all that good stuff. Anything people collect is doing really well right now on eBay.
Fantastic. Stephen, it's always a joy to talk to you, and continued success. We'll see you someday back in the office, I hope.
I hope so too, Griff. Great to see you again.
Stephen Weller, Senior Business Development Manager here at eBay, and he also sells on eBay. Oh, by the way, I forgot to ask you your user ID on eBay.
User ID is Subliminal Susie. One word.
Subliminal Susie. I won't ask where that comes from, but
that's a whole nother story for another day.
Good. We'll save it for the next time you're on, and we'll put a link to Stephen's store in our transcript for this episode.
Thanks, Griff.
You've got questions.
Guess what? We got answers. And boy, do we have a lot of questions. I'm counting what you picked out here. Let's see, six, seven questions?
I think it's seven. And I wonder why there were so many to choose from this
Rebecca, It's a New Year's miracle. Our first question is a call into our voice line. Why don't we take a listen and hear what he says?
Hey, Griff, recently when I was listing an item on my phone, I see turn on easy pricing. I do not recall getting this prompt on my desktop. Is it an old item that as I binged listen the first 170 podcasts, I might have dozed off and missed that information? Or is it something new? In either case, what's the scheme? Is it for high-end, high-volume users or the forgetful, list it, and forget it user? Enjoy the podcast, Griff, Brian, and the girl next door, Rebecca. This is David from Friends of the Benbrook Library.
Okay, there it is.
Girl next door. I've never been so flattered in my life. I've always wanted to be the girl next door.
Yeah, me too.
Oh my gosh, that was great. Thanks, David.
So, Rebecca, do you know anything about easy pricing?
You know, Griff, I haven't. I usually list on my desktop, I have to admit. I haven't ever come across this prompt. What is easy pricing?
So I have to admit, I didn't know it until I saw it a few months ago. And when you list an item on the mobile app, it'll prompt you, if it's a fixed price item, do you want to use easy pricing for this? And what it is you can set a certain amount that will discount on a regular cadence, like every 5 days or so, it'll reduce the price by X percent. It's something that I tend to do manually with my listings. That's my strategy. I'll start them high, the fixed price. And when I start getting some interest, then I'll lower the price just a little bit to like make it a little more, you know, come here. It's a kind of the opposite of sending best offers. But that's what David's saying. It's a cool feature. You can just say, no, I don't want to use it. Mm-hmm. It's not available on the desktop, but it is available on the app. I have a question. If you refuse to use it after a while, the prompt seems to disappear. In talking with our product team, it's something that is meant for the new or occasional seller, you know, to reconsider their price automatically so they get the item sold. But any seller who sees it can use it, and you can use it for any fixed price item. So, Dave, it doesn't matter if it's high end or low end. If you see it and you want to test it out, try it out. See what you think. You can set the criteria, how much and which, you know, how long the period of days.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. Like, can you set the number of days, how often, how many days in between the reductions, and the percentage of reduction?
Yes, you do that. And then you can set a base price. Stop when you get to this price.
That's awesome. It's like a very set it and forget it to make it really easy to give discounts to your buyers, right?
Yeah. It's like a reverse auction.
Oh, that's kind of, that's kind of cool. All right, I'm going to have to...
It's like, you know what it is? Yeah. It's Filene's Basement. You probably don't know what that is.
I do know what Filene's is. That's it was a very famous store in New York City.
It had easy pricing. Well, that one I know is in Boston. Oh. And Filene's Basement...
Maybe it was Boston.
I remember I used to buy things. You'd go in and they'd be on a rack, and every week they'd get discounted. So you'd come back to see, did it, you know, is it 10% off this week? And they would easy price everything until it sold.
Oh, interesting.
It was pretty cool, yeah.
All right, I just Googled it. You're right. It was Boston, not New York. Somewhere in the Northeast.
It's across the street from Jordan Marsh. And if you're from Boston or New England and you're my age, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So our next question was one that John sent to podcast@ebay.com. And it's a very interesting question. Would you like to read it? And then we'll talk about it.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. John asks, hi, Griff and Brian and Rebecca. Love the podcast. We love you too, John. When I'm taking a return, I notice that there is an option during the process for providing the buyer with a return postage label that will let me upload my own label. I can see the potential benefits of this, but I don't quite understand how to do this. Could you explain how a seller like me can get their own label to upload?
Yeah, it's actually, I did some research when I got this question, and it's actually pretty easy in some cases. So if you have an account with one of the carriers, for example, you can explore their websites and find out how you can get a return label. It's usually done manually for, like, say, if you have an order and you want to provide the label as opposed to eBay providing it, you can purchase a return label. Like with UPS, you can purchase one and print it out as a PDF, save it as a PDF, and then you can upload it. And that will count as a label, as opposed to eBay's default, where, you know, they'll send the buyer the label. You get really good rates with eBay when you use their return label, and the vast majority of sellers use that. But if you want to explore the option of uploading your own label, do so. See if it works for you. There are also services like Stamps.com and ShipStation, where if you're using their platform to do all of your eBay labels, like through their API, you can connect your account with Stamps.com, for example. You can use them entirely. They actually make it really easy to PDF a label and then upload it during the return process at eBay. But that's what that means, and it's usually something that a seller or merchant will explore on their own. We don't really provide a lot of information, but those companies do have options. You should explore them.
All right. Good to know. Thanks. Yeah. So our third question also came into podcastebay.com from eBay seller Judith.
Oh, Judith. She always writes in. I love you, Judith.
Our loyal listener, Judith. And she writes, "Hi, Griff. I never had a single problem being converted to managed payments. But now it's like I have lost control over the process."
Oh.
"By that, I mean I want my monthly eBay store fee, my other eBay invoices, my shipping label costs, etc., my expenses, and my net payments from sales, her income, to go all into the same bank account. This would make it much easier for me, but that's not happening now. Some debits go to credit card, and I am buying my shipping labels via PayPal, which is backed up by a credit card. Could you help me, if possible, consolidate all of these transactions into one single bank account? Thanks."
Judith. Well, thanks for the question. It's a great opportunity to explain this in case there's other sellers who aren't aware of how you can do this. Because, Rebecca, changing your funding method for eBay fees and changing your label funding method for eBay label postage, they're two separate settings, but they can be managed from the same page in Seller Hub.
Okay.
Yeah. If you go to Seller Hub and then click the Payments tab, then click on the left-hand side of the navigation, click on Payout Settings. From there, you click on the Edit link next to your current payment method, and voila, this whole page opens up. It takes you to the Payments page, which will show you all your current payment methods on file with eBay, including bank accounts, credit or debit cards, and your one PayPal account. So below the existing funding methods on your account, there is a box for Add Payment Option. If you want to add a second bank account or a credit or debit card, you click this option and then follow the instructions. I know it's a little...
You can see the puzzled look on my face.
Yeah, I saw that through the glass and I'm thinking, oh, maybe I'm not explaining this well. What are you thinking?
No, I think you are explaining it well. It just seems like a lot of steps and I'm just trying to follow it along, one, two, three.
Yeah, if I could do screenshots, it makes it easy. And I think once you're on the page, it's actually really clear to see. Also, Judith, if there are bank accounts or credit or debit cards you wish to remove from your eBay payments account, you can delete them on this page as well.
Mm.
Finally, you can assign which of the bank accounts or credit or debit cards you wish to be your default payment method for all your eBay selling fees by clicking the Manage link for that box for that payment method of your choice. When you do that, you'll see a little pop-up window, and there's a toggle option. It says Preferred for Selling Cost. We'll charge this account first for any outstanding cost before we try other payment methods on file. Like, say you just want everything to be a bank account, which it sounds like she wants.
Right.
So if your existing bank account that you want isn't on that page, you would add it.
Okay.
And then you would toggle that accounts option to make it your default payment account. And it will cover all of your eBay fees. So if you pay insertion fees, if you pay final value fees, subscription fees, all of those get covered in that account of your choice. And if you have another account and it's currently set as the default, it's toggled as the default payment account, it will toggle off automatically if you toggle another account on. I wish that was clearer because I didn't quite understand that when I was trying it, but I figured it out. And if you select a credit or debit card that's already on your account as your default method of paying fees, you have to re-verify that card before you can change it to your default fee payment option. Now, Judith, your PayPal email address for your PayPal account can be used for only two purposes on eBay, to purchase items and to pay for eBay labels. It cannot be used as a funding method for eBay selling fees. However, any debit or credit cards you place in your payment section can also be used to purchase items on eBay at checkout. They'll be provided to you as a buyer as an option. You can change how your eBay labels get funded during the print label flow. So it's only available when you're actually printing a label. But once you change it, it toggles to that unless you change it in the future. The funding options are at the very bottom of the first page when you select print a label for a single label, and on the second review page when you select two or more labels for batch printing. Am I going too far?
Whew. I mean, we're pretty far down the rabbit hole here.
Well, again, if I had screenshots, I could show you, but maybe I'll cut them out and put them up on the transcript. I'll see if Brian can do that. And your options for paying for your labels are either pending payouts, you know, that's the funds that have come in and they're usually held for a day or two. I always have some pending payouts, so that's what I use. Or you can use your PayPal account. And if you select pending payouts and there are no pending funds available for printing a label, the funds will come from that default funding method, bank account, credit or debit card that you selected for paying your eBay fees. If you select your PayPal account, the funds will come from your PayPal account. And I think, I can't remember because I did this once and I'm not going back to try it, but I think you can select what the funding method is for PayPal. You know, when you're in your PayPal account, you can say, I want to use one of these accounts.
Yeah, you should be able to do that.
Yes. So there you go. Wow.
So I think the upshot
yes?
for Judith is that it is actually possible to have all of those selling fees, including labels, coming from the one bank account. There's a little work to do on her end to set it up on eBay and on PayPal to make sure that she's using both bank accounts, the one email address, everything as the same source.
Thank you for pointing that out. If you have that same bank account registered on your PayPal account, you can select that one if you want to use PayPal
right.
for funding out of that bank account.
Right.
I guess you can do it from one account. It's just, it's not easy.
Yeah. You got some work to do. And, you know, if you use a debit card tied to that bank account as well, like, anyway, Judith, good luck. Call us back.
And the reason why I'm so glad that Judith asked that question, because not only because it gave me a chance to talk about it on, you know, endlessly, but my payments accounts were a mess. There were a bunch of credit cards in there. I expired. So it gave me a chance to clean them up.
That's great. So basically, Judith got you to do your homework. I like it.
Yes, she did. Thank you, Judith. Okay. Question number four was also sent into podcast at ebay.com by eBay seller Games Toys Apparel. I wonder what they sell. And he says, hi, gang. I currently have an eBay store where I sell a little bit of everything, but I'm looking to open a second store where I can sell my niche items. Has eBay considered making it a little easier on mobile to sign in and out of one account and go to the next versus having to log in and out of each store? It would make it a little easier for those of us that have multiple accounts and use their phone to list and take pictures. Like if there was a way to just click your profile and toggle back and forth. Oh, I don't know. For instance, Instagram allows you to have multiple profiles, but you're already logged into them all and you just flip to the account you'd like to be in. Thanks. I love listening to the podcast while I list my items. Longtime listener, keep up the work. Games Toys Apparel. That's a user ID.
Well, thanks, Games Toys Apparel. We actually have seen this request before. Currently, however, there aren't any plans for a one-step toggle between eBay accounts in the mobile app. And in fact, it is pretty hard. It's almost impossible to switch between eBay accounts in the mobile app.
Yeah, I tried it. It ain't easy.
It ain't, yes. It can be done on desktop using a web browser, but you have to sign out of one account and then sign back in with another. However, we have passed your suggestion along to the product team for their consideration.
Yeah, and we like to do that.
Absolutely. And then here's a hint I use when I have two accounts in a simultaneous website of some sort. I will have one account in one type of browser. This works best on desktop. I'll have one account logged in on one browser, like a Safari, and I'll have another account logged in another browser, like, say, a Chrome. Again, this is more of a desktop solution, but maybe somebody out there listening will find it useful. And that way I can at least just toggle back and forth on my computer or even in my web browsers on my phone instead of having to log back and forth. It's not a perfect workaround, but maybe it'll help somebody.
Or another workaround is you could get a second phone and carry two phones around. But, you know, my question to you, Games, Toys, Apparel, is, or any other seller considering a second or third eBay account and store, is why? Your subscription costs are going to be doubled. There are no cross-promotion tools or options for two or more stores, and you're going to have to manage each one separately, and that's a lot of work just doing one. The work in running two or more stores is double or triple managing just one, and I just don't think there's a benefit. My suggestions, by the way, to sellers with a varied type of inventory, and they say, hey, should I open a second store? As I say, no, just create a main store category hierarchy to sort merchandise of different types inside that store category. And then you get the opportunity to cross-promote within your store, because you never make the assumption that, you know, somebody may be looking for, you know, a little girl's party dress, but they also want, I don't know, a muffler.
It's entirely possible. The other thing is that, you know, if you open up a new store, you lose out on all the goodness that you've built up in your existing store in terms of feedback and history and relationships with buyers and all of those benefits.
And you're going to be faced with limits. Yeah. So your new account will be considered a new account.
Yeah.
It's not recommended.
Exactly. Well, on to our fifth question. And there's a lot of questions this week. So on to our fifth question. And this is from eBay seller Rex. Rex wrote, "Hello, thanks for a great podcast that we look forward to listening to each week. We have always sold our old tech on eBay for years, but only in 2020, after restricted travel, did we start going to estate sales for something to do. Then guess what? We had more stuff to sell. So we are accidental resellers now." You know, that happens a lot to people.
Oh, Rex. Yes. You run out of space really quick.
Exactly.
And cash.
Hopefully not, because they're making all those sales. Okay, all right, enough goofing around. So Rex goes on to say, "The question we are trying to figure out, how to change our linked PayPal account in eBay." Wait.
Deja vu.
How about this? Did I choose these questions? I did, actually. I think that it's good okay. to have these related topics.
There's a method to the madness.
There is, yes. There is. "Currently, we are still linked to a personal PayPal account that was set up a long time ago as a buyer account. Now, we would like to change it to be linked to a business PayPal account since we have created an LLC and want to update our records properly. Thanks, from Rex."
Although we pretty much answered this already for Judith earlier, Rex, it bears a repeat, I think, because it gives me the opportunity to show you that there are two ways, to reach the page for changing the PayPal account on file with eBay. So, for example, with Judith, we directed her to Seller Hub. For you, Rex, we're going to give you a special different way. We'll point you to My eBay on the top of any eBay page. And once you clicked it, click on the Account tab and then Payment Information and then Payments. And voila, you're on the same page. And once you're there, you look for the PayPal section. Click delete for your existing PayPal account, then add your other PayPal account's email address, and now you're linked.
Done and dusted.
Keep in mind, though, that that will be the account that will show up if you're buying on eBay. You're right. Changing that. There's only one account at any given time for each eBay account. So if that's an account that you're okay using for buying, great. You can also set it up that you can have credit cards on file with eBay and you the credit or debit cards that you can use to purchase that are not related to PayPal. So you have that option. And you can add Google Pay, Apple Pay. I use Apple Pay.
Right. And you have the choice when you're in the purchase flow.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I pulled this next question because it caught me by surprise. Oh. eBay seller Kimberly asks, "Hello, Griff. Thank you for continuing your podcast. I enjoy listening. My question is, why did eBay take off the search by photo? I know that I can use Google for the same type of feature, but it was great to find items right on eBay. eBay's photo search was a bit more accurate and was a big time saver. Please suggest its return soon. All the best, Kimberly." What is Kimberly talking about here?
Okay, so in the research for this, I confess I had no idea that what we call visual search, it was launched back in 2017, was removed from the app. But I checked my iPhone, and indeed, it is no longer there. So, concerned me, I contacted our product team, and they informed me that because of some inconsistencies that popped up with the feature at the end of December, they had temporarily removed it from the app. And they had to do it quickly because they didn't want these inconsistencies to keep showing up. Mm-hmm. But they're working to get it back fixed ASAP. So that version of the visual search, they should have it back up and running very soon. But he also told me that they actually plan to relaunch a new and improved version of visual search later this year in 2022. So stay tuned for that. And yes, it did work really well. And it worked a lot better than Google's, I admit it. So it worked really well. But Kimberly, thank you for noticing.
Great. And thanks for hunting that down, Griff.
Yes.
All right. Our very last question for this week is actually from a buyer, eBay buyer Kevin, and he is not happy.
Oh, dear.
Kevin emailed podcast@ebay.com, and he says, "So I buy a ton from eBay, but I've noticed this extremely annoying trend more and more lately. Why is eBay allowing some sellers to clog up search results for video games by listing a bunch of games that actually aren't related at all? It's beyond frustrating as a buyer. I rarely sell, but I buy multiple items a week. And truthfully, I'm thinking I'll check elsewhere instead of these manipulative listings that never have anything in their inventory. So they clog the top results with their filler games. Please, can we stop this?
So just as a little backstory, I did research what he was talking about. And what he was saying was that when he searches, and he was specifically using the words video games lot. So he was looking for bargains, you know, on a lot of video games, like, you know, different types, four or five. But there are sellers in that category who are offering multivariations for video games. And there's a lot of them. So when I used his search, video games lot, I was getting 98,000 returns. But Kevin, although we can't prevent sellers from listing multivariation or choice listings in this category, you as a buyer can filter most of them out of your return results by just tailoring your keyword search. And there's a few ways to do this. First way is to figure out, of course, what words you're going to take out. I've done the work for you on this one. I figured out which words you can use that will, they're called excluded words. So any titles with these excluded words in them won't show up in your results. Once you know that, you can go to the search box on the top of any eBay page, or you can do this also in the app, and you type video games lot, word space word, and then a space, and then a hyphen, otherwise known as a minus sign, and then a parenthesis, left parenthesis, and you can, and I put the word pick, comma, choose, comma, choice, and then a close parenthesis, no spaces inside the parentheses. And this will filter out any listing that have the words pick or choose or choice in the title. My research showed that most of these multivariation listings have those words. You can also accomplish the same filter using the advanced search feature on the desktop app by adding each word pick, choose, and choice into the excluded words box. The eBay mobile app does not have the advanced search feature. From within the app, you would need to type what I just told you above, which is the text string video games lot with minus in parentheses pick, comma, choose, comma, choice. Now, using your category as an example, video games lot, those three keywords showed about 98,000 results. But when I put the excluded words, pick, choose, and choice into that same string, the result was only 5,000. So that's a drastic filtering of the listings. And you, Kevin, may find other examples of listings that are not what you seek. Determine if the seller has a search word in the title for that listing and include it in your excluded words, and then we'll filter those out as well. And then finally, so you don't have to do this work over and over, save that search as a favorite search so you can access it faster in the future. You can also select the search from your recent searches on the app and save it as a favorite from there as well.
You know, over the years, Griff, it's been pretty amazing how searching has really become a skill that we've all acquired. I mean, I've learned to do a lot of similar searching like this only in the major search engines like Google that I use. One thing that I often do in Google that I believe is the right way and that it works, when I have a particular phrase that I'm looking for, I put it in quotation marks. And that way it searches on the entire phrase and not just each word separately.
And that's still the case in eBay, although we don't really publish or promote it. In the advanced search, you can select an option that will say these keywords in there in this order. But when eBay first started, and for many years afterwards, the search function on eBay was really easy to configure, but you had to know a lot of things. We actually used what was called a wildcard. So you could put
probably an asterisk in the
asterisk. So you could put an asterisk at the end or in the beginning of a word. Maybe you wanted Barbie spelt with a Y and Barbie spelt with IE. You just put a Barb with an asterisk.
Right.
Well, that is no longer possible.
Well, because you'd also get Barbell and Barber as a result there, right?
Barbie with a Barbell. Interesting. But what happened, we also had other options where there were these permutations where you could look for different combinations, and it got more and more confusing. And if you happen to have an old copy of the official eBay Bible, by Griffith, Jim Griffith. You can find it in the remainder bins across America.
Oh, I have a copy. Oh, guess where I bought it?
A remainder bin.
On eBay.
Oh, on eBay. Good for you. It's entirely out of date, but there's a whole explanation of how the old search worked at the time. And now it's much simpler, but there's still a few things you can do.
Well, I think we did a good job answering a bunch of questions.
You too. Thank you, Rebecca.
Oh, my pleasure. And if you want to join the fun here on eBay for Business, you can call us at 888-723-4630.
That's 888-723-4630. David, thank you so much for calling that number. If only more people would. If they don't call it, I may resort to some passive-aggressive ploy of saying, well, that's it. The podcast is on hiatus. You can call that hotline and prevent a hiatus any time of the day, any day of the week. Leave a question or comment, and we just might put it on the air. I don't want to be the boy who cried wolf, though.
And remember, if you are not a call-on-the-phone person, you can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
Now it's time for your daily podcast to-do list.
Number one, check the announcement board for up-to-date seller news.
Number two, look, I know you're happy using your inkjet printer with tape over the label. I know. I understand
it. I saw your post on Facebook over the holiday about that. Yes, I did.
I got two different labels within a month, both kind of on the verge of being unreadable because they were paper taped to a box. So yeah, I'm not going to stop banging the drum for thermal printers. So if as I said last week, if your dearly beloved best partner didn't get you a thermal printer, knock them on the head and say, maybe next year, but in the meantime, go out and buy one.
And then here's another one, a new one for this year. Visit the eBay community pages at community.ebay.com and connect with other sellers, learn and share, and you know, find out the latest of what's going on and what sellers are talking about.
Of course. And you should always check out the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you heard and to see the links we referenced during the episode so you can get to them fast. On our next episode, I have no idea what we're at. It's a blank slate. I'll have a better idea next week.
Yes, folks, it's a mystery for now.
It's
but
a mystery.
You won't want to miss it.
Yeah, you won't want to miss it.
And we'd like to thank again our guest this week, Stephen Weller, an eBayer, also a top seller.
Yeah. The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.